Wednesday nights been talking about some things that we can use to help each other, maybe in a home Bible study or just in a conversation that you might have with individuals. I prefer to study with someone in a time that is scheduled, place is scheduled, given some material to get ready for, and so that they come to the study prepared. We know what we're studying, and they can ask any questions that they'd like to ask. But I prefer to do that. Others may prefer just to show up to a study and say, "What do you want to study about?" Got to be careful about that. But that might be your preference as you're trying to study with individuals. Typically, no two studies are the same, because no two people are the same. You're going to study with folks who have different ideas about the Scriptures, different ideas about God, different convictions about things. They're at just simply a different place from one study to the next. And so, for example, I've mentioned to you the study that we're having on Saturday. Even within that group, they're not all at the same place. Study that we on Sunday, not at the same place. It's just every study is simply different, and so you really need to have a nice arsenal of things that you can use and just at your convenience to be able to study with someone. Whatever material you use, my advice is to be really well versed with it. Know it. Don't stumble through your study. Don't pull out something that you've never used before and think, "Well, that'll work, and I'll just kind of do it, go spur of the moment kind of thing." And you may do more damage than good that way. And you may lose the study. The worst thing is to really does lose the study and not get that individual to continue your study. But as long as folks are agreeing to study with you, and that's certainly the direction that you want to go. So we've covered many things so far in our Wednesday night class. And I like hearing from you too, to know maybe things that you've used or how you would use some of the things that we've talked about. One thing I thought would do us good before we might get into a study on, a brief study on Bible authority, is really settling the question, I'm not going to write all this down, but how to establish that the Bible is the sole standard. Now, we say, yes, the Bible is the standard. It's the only standard that we go by. We can't go based upon feeling. We can't go based upon what I think, what someone else teaches about it. But we have to go by what the Scriptures say. But you're going to study with folks who do not come from that standpoint. They want to argue the point with you when you point out passages like 2 Timothy chapter 3 and then verse 16, which says what?
Scriptures be given by God.
Yeah, all Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15, which is a good passage. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Links us back to verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise and salvation. So all Scripture is God breathed. It came forth from God. And the Bible makes that claim that it is of divine origin from Old Testament to New Testament. 2 Samuel 23:2 and 2 Timothy 3:16 and Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 to a lot of passages make a statement, make a claim that the Bible is from God. And folks typically that are of a religious background, suppose you're studying with someone who's in a denomination, typically they're not going to argue that 2 Timothy 3:16 is whether it's correct or not. They're going to agree with you. Yes, I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. I believe that all Scripture is from God. I'm not going to argue that point. But the problem is that many times, what do they do? Say it again, Rick.
I just said, everybody out here says, "I think."
Okay, I think. What did you say, John?
I think you can't give people do what the Bible tells.
Yeah, that's true so many times. They'll say, "Yes, I believe that the Bible is true. I believe that it's the Word of God. But I believe," lady, I was just recently talking, "I believe the Holy Spirit used the Word and convict you. Lay upon your heart," some preacher may say. He'll kind of pull you, tug you, or whatever the case may be. So, yes, I believe that the Bible is the Word of God, but I believe also that the Holy Spirit directly plays a part in that. So you're going to study with folks who don't believe that the Bible is a sole standard of authority. And you've got to establish that with folks. Why is that important?
Because, I mean, if you don't have the same standard, there's no way to make any headway.
Good. You're never going to make progress with that individual. Using the Bible only, when they don't believe that the Bible only is the standard. And so you've got to establish that with them. If you don't believe that the Bible only is the standard by which we have to establish religious authority, what else are you never going to achieve? Well, one, you're never going to convert that individual. And I say that because the Word of God is what converts the person. It's what saves the soul. It's the power of God unto salvation. Passages you're familiar with, Romans 1:16 and James 1:21-22. We have no other word. If someone says, well, I don't believe that the Bible only is sufficient to the saving of the soul, we don't have another word to offer to them because there is no other word by which man can be saved. So you're never going to convert an individual to Christianity without understanding that the Bible is the sole standard and the Bible only. The Bible only makes Christians only. Right? What else? You're never going to achieve.
I interpret it different.
Yeah. Maybe someone says, well, it's based upon the way that we interpret. When folks say that to me, I want them to qualify. You tell me what you mean by interpret. Now, I know what the word interpret means. That means read something. It really has the idea of translating something. But guess what? We have an interpretation of the Greek Scriptures. It's the English Bible written in more languages than one. So tell me, we're not talking about Greek to English. So when you say interpret, tell me what you mean by that. Well, it's my opinion. It's the way that I see it all. So again, we're going back to I think. That's really what many times that boils down to when folks talk about interpretation. It's a matter of interpretation. Can we look at a passage and interpret it in the same way? Absolutely. When you follow those basic Bible study rules we talk about context and so forth, but you ignore those, and I guarantee you, you're not going to arrive at the same conclusion. You will never achieve unity if you don't believe that the Bible is the sole standard of authority. And make no mistake about it, we talk about unity among God's people. You've got to impress with people that you're trying to convert to Christianity the importance of being unified. Many times the religious world, I want you to think about this, the religious world is unified. Many times they're unified on a lot of different fronts. Maybe their synod has said this is what you're going to teach, believe, and practice, so they're unified about that. This is a change in which we're going to make to our laws and our bylaws and our creeds and our manuals and our disciplines and our catechisms, and they're unified about that many times. But what's the problem with that? You can have unity and still what? That's right. You can be unified and still be wrong. We're talking about a unity based upon a thus saith the Lord. A unity of what does the Bible say about it? We want to be unified on what this book says. A lot of division occurs as a result of being divided on what the Bible does not say. Give you an example. In the book of John chapter 3, a man by the name of Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. Blaine, why did he come by night?
Question.
Okay, he came to ask Jesus a question. Why did he come by night? Why not during the daytime?
Because he didn't want the Jews to know.
Marilyn?
It might have been more convenient for him.
Convenience? Didn't want the Jews to know? June?
I don't
Jim said, doesn't know. Anybody? Chris?
No.
Don't know. So we got two I don't know. One, because maybe the Jews, maybe convinced, but you said that the Bible doesn't say. The Bible just says there was a man by the name of Nicodemus that came to Jesus. We don't know. Now, when did he come to Jesus? Daytime or nighttime?
At night.
At night. Everybody night. See, we're unified on that because that's what the text says. Most of the division in the world happens as a result of arguing about, being divided about what the Bible doesn't even say many times. You see that point? We've got to establish with them that the Bible is the sole standard of authority. And this is one that many times I focus on unity from lesson one that I do with someone. And I've got a particular couple of lessons that are my favorites, because I've used them for so long. It's not the only ones that you have to use, but it's ones that I like. But from lesson one, I'm covering this topic with them. The fact that the Bible is the only standard, that Jesus has how much authority? All authority, Matthew 28:18. And God has spoken to us by His Son in these last days, Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. And His will is manifest, made known, declared. How? Some still voice in the inner ear. How do we know it?
Through His Word.
Through His Word. As Paul would put in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 37, if any man think so to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are, what are they, Brother Paul? The commandments of the Lord. And so they wrote the commandments of the Lord. If we want to know the Lord's will, then we've got to read the Bible. Never going to achieve being unified on a thus saith the Lord, so that individuals can come to knowledge of the truth. Except we lay that down early on in our study with individuals. But a lot of passages talk about unity, and you know them well. We won't spend a lot of time on that. But as you're studying with individuals, you've got to make that point that God expects us to be unified. Psalm 133 and verse 1 says what? Behold how... Who said that?
Good and pleasant.
Good and pleasant. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to what? To dwell together in unity. It's a good thing. It's the right thing. It's what God expects for us to be in unity. And it's something that takes work. It's not accidental. It's not happenstance. It takes work. How do I know that? Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 3. Endeavoring. Strong word. Endeavoring. Important word. Endeavoring to keep what?
Unity.
The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so I asked folks when I studied with them, is that possible? What do you think, and your thoughts on, what do you think that so many in the religious world say about that when you ask, is it possible for us to be in unity?
If they don't read the Bible, that's a lot of them.
No, they don't think that that's possible. Well, there's just no way that you can take a group of people and there's just no way. There's too many different takes on it, so much background, and that is true. Part of that, this part, that when you study with someone, oftentimes they bring to the table baggage. That is, they bring to the table their preconceived notions, their feelings, very sincere, not undermining that, but they bring those things to the study, and they base so much of what they believe and what they do on those feelings and on those preconceived notions and on the things that they've heard from people that they have highly respected throughout their life, and that's going to play a part in it. But you've got to show them that yes, it's possible, because the Bible over and over talks about it. Someone read for us Philippians chapter 2 and then verse 2. Our time goes quick, but 20 minutes already.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:2, he said?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm wrong.
It's okay.
Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind.
Said one accord, one mind. The disciples early on, Acts chapter 2, were together, same accord. Dwelling together, same goal, doing the same things. And so, Philippians 2, unity. The Lord prayed for such John 17:20-21, that all those who would believe on Him through the word of the apostles would be one. And then, of course, we use so many times, all division. You speak the same thing. Now, if we're not speaking the same thing, guess what? We're not unified. We're divided. And sometimes you've got to map that out for people so they get a nice, clear picture of what that looks like. Now, I've got a little... you can use a piece of paper, whatever you want to use. A board, piece of paper. I took a piece of paper. I laminated it so I can kind of use it with whiteboard markers when I study with folks. Can erase it and reuse it. But I just pull that out and I ask them. Now, right on a piece of board, after I went through some of these passages about, look, we've got to be in unity. It's a good thing. We've got to endeavor to do that. We've got to be of the same mind. Christ prayed that we be in unity. We have to speak the same thing, mind the same thing, be perfectly joined together, have no division. So on my paper, I write division on one side, unity on the other. And guess what I ask them? And it doesn't matter what you use. You can use a pencil. You can use anything. A book, doesn't matter to me what you use. Use your cell phone, a marker, but I just pull something out and I ask them, how big do you think that is? Zach, how long do you think that is? Paint that shot.
2 inches.
Zach says 2 inches. And how big do you think that is? Paint that shot. Somebody help her out. Roll.
About 8 inches.
Is that 8 inches? Johnny said 5?
10.
You just go around to somebody said 10? I might look at that and I say, well, you guys are way off. That's a yardstick length. That's 3 foot. And you just ask them, now look, are we divided or are we in unity concerning how long that is? Anybody walking around since we see that. You don't have to help them see that. They see that once you kind of put that before them. You see that point? But why is it that we're divided? Because each person is going based upon what I see, what I think, how that looks to me. And that's the same thing, I guarantee it, in the religious world that I have, when we go based upon what I think, how I feel about it, how I see it, how I perceive it to be. My perception of it, you see. But I ask them, okay, God expects us to be in unity, and we're divided as to be. We are not speaking the same things. And you can make all kinds of application to that. When you say the baptism is by sprinkling, and the next person says it's by immersion, and I might say it's by pouring, for sake of conversation, you know better. But we're divided about that. We're not speaking the same thing, John.
How about accepting Jesus Christ in your heart?
Yeah, what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. If we're not speaking the same thing, we are divided. And you've got to give folks you're studying with to see that point. One of the reasons is because we live in a time when so many today believe that this is irrelevant. It doesn't matter that we are divided about what we believe, about what we think. We're all serving the same God. We're all going to the same place. It really doesn't matter anyway. Have you heard that before? All roads lead to heaven. Yeah, that's the idea. Chris was going to say something.
Yeah, in your studies, I mean, and I haven't been able to be here for most of these two, and you might have brought this up already, but how often are you using Hebrews 11:1 to discuss, like, the unity of that amount? Because everybody says, I believe this, I believe that, I think this, I think that, right? But establishing the same faith in what we are actually reading to establish the Bible authority.
Good.
How often do you bring that up, and, like, what perspective do you utilize it as well?
Here's why I would say that's important, Chris, is because not everyone you study with or I study with is going to have a biblical understanding of what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I've said many times that faith in the New Testament is used at least how many ways? I know you listen to when I but it's used at least in two ways, right? It's used in the, from the standpoint, yes, I believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And sometimes, so, you got it from that standpoint of yes, I believe those things. I may point about that in just a moment. And then it's also used in what way?
The faith.
Yeah, the faith. And you say gospel, brothers? Yeah, he's talking about the faith, when Paul talked about the fact that he once tried to destroy the faith, which now he preaches, Galatians chapter 1 into Galatians chapter 2. Or there is one faith in Ephesians chapter 4. That's the faith. You're not talking about what you believe. He's talking about the system by which you and I are justified, the gospel of Christ, the right ways of the Lord. It's expressed in those ways in Acts chapter 13. So you study with folks, they don't always have a biblical understanding of what it means to believe. Many of the times, they think that it is just simply, I trust in Jesus as my Savior. And then they have a skewed sense of what it means to trust. The saving belief, the belief that saves, is the belief that what?
Obeys.
That obeys. To believe and not have obedience is what kind of faith? Dead. That's what James chapter 2, verses 14 and on is about. You, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead, being alone. So you've got that, they've got to get a right perception, a right handle on what the Bible means by faith, by believing. Abraham did not just simply have mental assent, I believe God exists, God is real, and therefore it was imputed unto him to righteousness. Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith he offered. He moved based upon that belief. But you do nothing with faith, belief, then today faith. The faith that saves is the faith that obeys. Did that help some?
Yes, thank you.
But establishing the different ways that the Bible uses it. So what do we say? They say, yes, I agree that we are divided. God doesn't want us to be divided. So how do we handle that?
Donnie, I've dealt with people, when you look at the Gospels, each of those writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record an event. Sometimes it's just a little bit different worry in how they present it. And I've dealt with people that has told me that the writers don't even agree with what they're writing. Example, when Christ was arrested and the soldier's ear was cut off. If you look at Matthew and Mark, I think they have the same account. Luke deals with it that it was the right ear, and John deals with it that it was Malchus' right ear. And so they say, see, they don't even agree neither. An example of that, we may, four or five of us, be standing out in different positions down the road, and the wreck happens. We're going to, from our viewpoint, what we've seen of that. I may say, well, this black car run into that blue car. And Mark may say, well, this black car run into a blue car, and a woman was driving. You give four different accounts, and I'm talking about the same event. Somebody just added a little bit more to what their viewpoint of it was. And that's kind of the way the Gospels was wrote, their viewpoint to it. You know, some of them seen fit to leave Malcolm's name out. John didn't.
Yeah, just but additional information.
The same event.
Good. Yeah, just additional information. And Mark, and some of you, I'm sure, is familiar with the court system and so forth. And the job that I had before I came here was involved in the court system every week. And Mark may very well explain the same event in a different way to his co-worker than he would to a judge. It's not the same audience. It's simply not the same audience in which you're speaking to. And so whether it was to Jewish people or people of a Greek background or people with a Roman background, information is sometimes given, not conflicting information, but from a different perspective, oftentimes depending upon what the audience is, or what the composition of them would be. All right, we've got about five minutes. Very good points. Yes, John.
About what tale, what year that he cut off?
Right here, John.
Right here.
Yep.
Yeah.
The
Bible says
it's
right.
He can give that passage. He's right. Right here, Malchus, and so forth. But just additional information. Now, so you study with them, they see this point. I guarantee you, anybody you study with don't see that. You see how simple that is? But you want to show them how. Now, how do we go from being divided to unified? We've got about 5 minutes. Get a ruler out. So when you go to your study, you're going to prove this point. You have one handy. These, by the way, 99 cents at Harbor Freight. And it gets the job done. Or you can just use a 12-inch ruler. Well, whatever the case is. But and you might want to leave that with them.
Standard of measurement.
Yeah, that's right. And so, pull that out for Zach. What are they? 7.5. Zach, how long is that? As long as that answer.
7.5.
Zach said 7.5. Now, if I went all the way around the room and I asked you, what answer would you give it? 7.5. Now, you'd want to see the measurement, but it would be 7.5. All the way around, you would say 7.5. And then you ask them, look, on this side, are we unified or divided? Every time I've asked that, they've said what? We're unified. What made the difference? Having a standard that we agree on. Now, as I told someone recently, here's what people do in the religious world. Donnie, I don't care if you measure. That is 3 foot long, and nothing you can say is going to convince me otherwise. Now, we look at that and we say, that's ridiculous. That is ridiculous, and I agree with you. But that's what people do with the Bible. We establish that it's the Word of God. We establish that it is divine, that God wants us to be in unity, and they still say, you can show me faith. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You can say it to be blue in the face, and folks are just going to say it. They're going to scoff at it. They're going to kick against it because it goes against what I believe. Well, guess what? What you believe is not the standard. And I kindly tell them that in studies if need be. Now, what you believe, what you think is not the standard of arriving at a religious truth, and what I think and what I believe is not the standard of arriving at religious truth. And guess what I leave on the table throughout that study with you? First study all the way to the end. A stick or whatever I use, but I'll leave the rules there. And I tell them, now through this study, when you're tempted to say, but I think, or this is the way I see it, we're going to go back to the standard. And they get that point. They appreciate that point because it's so simple to see. Our time has come and gone. Got any thoughts or comments about that? We've got to establish that. I'll share some other things with you along these lines next week concerning the Word of God. When someone says, but look what the Holy Spirit does for us. I believe the Holy Spirit does A, B, C, X, Y, Z. I'll give you about 20 passages that will knock the props out from under the thinking that the Holy Spirit directly does those things. Any thoughts or comments? Appreciate your good attention.
I've heard people say, you believe your way, and I believe my way, and we'll just get it off that together.